Joy to be with you this morning. I know two people from Prince Edward Island before coming here. The first one is Anna Green Gables. And, you know, we've got, that's kind of my wife. You know, when you're down and you're sick for a while and you're down for a day, I usually put in Rambo 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but she puts in Anna Green Gables, you know. And just kind of takes it. And then the second person I know from Prince Edward Island is Andrea Visser. I think you know her too. Yeah, so when she graduated from college, she came down to Chicago and taught at Chicago Christian High School. And I was pastoring the neighboring Christian Reformed Church there. So she would worship with me there. And what a wonderful person. So the two people I know, Anna Green Gables and Andrea Visser, are awesome. So, and then the third person I met was a taxi driver Friday night. And he was cool too. So I arrived here about 11:30 and got my luggage and took a cab over to the hotel. And I asked the fellow, it's about midnight. I said, now is this your last run for the night? You're done? He says, no. The Bears are out at 1:30. So, the Bears are out at 1:30. You have football here on the island? And they start at midnight. You got a bear hunt going on here at midnight? What's going on here? I said, what do you mean the bear? The bars close at 1:30. Oh, okay. So then you're the designated driver. I get it. So that was my first cross-cultural experience. The Bears close at 1:30. And that's a little later than they do in Chicago, because that's when our criminals are out. So we like to close at 12, you know. So, what a joy to be here with you. So many things are similar, yet some things are different when you go from church to church, as I've been doing these days. The cadets, we find them wherever we go. And these are nice pullovers. Everybody's all matched up. That's cool. And the council meets in the basement beforehand. And, you know, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, someone starts praying. You know, it's great just before the service, so we gather as a council and we pray. So that's very similar. Some of the songs are similar. And yet every congregation is unique in its own way. And that's part of the reason why I'm here this weekend, is to try to understand who you are. Self-awareness is an important quality, one that I never really had growing up. Well, I knew I was Dutch. My grandparents made that clear to me, if it wasn't just for their broken English, right? So I knew that. I knew that I was Christian Reformed, because we all went to the First Christian Reformed Church of Chicago, which later became Ebenezer Church. I knew that. I knew that I was the son of a garbage man, because our whole family hauled garbage. It's kind of like, do all the Vissers raise potatoes around here? A lot of them, right? So I saw some Visser potatoes last night. That was great. But in Chicago, I have 7 uncles, and they all hauled garbage. So every time we had a family gathering, we just talked trash. It was incredible. And because they were Dutch, they couldn't stop talking trash without also talking money, business, right? Because even on the Lord's Day, Grandma Jenny would say none of that on Sunday, but they still went at it. So I knew I was a garbage man. But the one thing I didn't know was that I was a big guy. I never viewed myself as a big guy. One of the reasons why is that, you know, my mother 5'8", my sister's 5'8", 9'10", sturdy Western European stock, right? And then we played basketball in the States. You know what that is, right? Basketball. And I was the center, which 6'2", 6'3", center is small. So I always thought I was a small guy. And then I would get in line at Great America or something like that, and I'd be looking over everybody's head. Or I'd walk into a room and someone would say, "Hey, big guy." And I'd think, man, I'm a big guy. And it took me a while to realize that I'm not only a big guy, but I have a big voice, and that sometimes I can be overwhelming. I didn't understand that either. And so I had to kind of develop self-awareness. And I think that's what each and every one of us does as we mature in life, correct? We learn who we are. We learn more about ourselves. And then as we mature, we live into the person God has created us to be. And when we live into the person God has created us to be, rather than the one someone else expects us to be, or the person we want to be, when we live into the person God has created us to be, we find this sweet harmony in our soul, the sweet joy. It seems like everything is working. This is what Calvin says about when we're where God wants us to be, when we hear His call, respond to His call, and live out of who He's created us to be, there is harmony among our parts. And it's a beautiful thing for individuals as we mature and grow. But it's hard. It's hard to grow up and to find out that, you know, there are some things that we're not real good at, and there's some things we don't even enjoy. And there's other things where we can really grow. So I was the first of five children. I was never really good in school. For me, school was like a social event, just an opportunity to have fun. But I got out, did okay. My brother right behind me didn't do that well in school. And we discovered that, you know, I'm a guy, I like to work in ideas, and my brother is a mechanic, right? He became a diesel truck mechanic, and the harmony among our parts. This is especially true for churches. It's so important for us as a congregation to be aware of who we are. And when we go to the Scriptures, we find clear teaching on this. So I'm going to turn to 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10, and I'm going to start here. This is going to be like a diving board into some other passages. For here, Peter, who is the rock of the church, tells us who we are as a church. You are, he says, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. My message this morning has two parts. The first is embrace your identity, and the second is live out your identity. And each one has 3 points. So if you're tracking, wonder when your nap is going to begin. There's two main parts and then 3 parts within it. 6 points together. I'm going to wrap it up with a conclusion. Going to keep the headphones off for during the summer? All right. embrace your identity. People of God, we are the beloved of the Father. Can you say that? We are the beloved of the Father. We are the beloved of the Father. A chosen people. Once we were not a people. Once we were no one. We're just part of the mass of humanity. But now, you are the people of God. Once you had no mercy, now you've received mercy. We are the beloved of the Father. In Romans 1 verse 7, we read, to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be His holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the beloved of the Father. Now, that means we are more than a motley crew of ragamuffins hanging out in Charlottetown. We are more than like-minded individuals come together with some political purpose. We are more than the PTA, the Parent-Teacher Association that supports the school. We are more than a political party. We're even more than a parent society supporting a Christian day school. We're more than a group of people sharing a same ethnic heritage. We are more, above and beyond that, we are the beloved of God. God the Father, a good, good Father. That's who He is, and that's who we are. Loved by Him. We're not orphans. We're not only. We're not insignificant. We're not outcasts. We're the beloved of the Father. Secondly, embrace your identity. We're not only the beloved of the Father, we are the bride of Christ. We are who? Cadets? Thank you, thank you. The bride of Christ. In Ephesians 5, 25, we have this beautiful, beautiful passage. It says here, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, to present her to Himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, holy and blameless. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Men, do you know that the Bible never tells a wife to love her husband? Did you know that? Huh? I knew you were not. You're classy. Yeah, she doesn't need to be told because love is responsive. When a husband loves his wife, the wife loves her husband. The wife loves the husband. The husband loves the wife. Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church. I've only seen one loved wife ever leave her husband. And she had some mental issues. Never seen it. I've seen a bunch of loved men leave their wives because they're just not thinking straight. But I've never seen a loved wife walk out on her husband. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. That's a sermon unto itself. The reason I'm going to this passage is that Christ loves us and we are His bride. The bride of Christ. Chosen, special, protected, provided for, cherished, honored. the bride. Now, it took me a long time to embrace that. The church, as pastors, we like to just say, yeah, ministry would be great if it weren't for the people. Right? I'm sure teachers say the same thing about teaching would be great if it weren't for the students. Well, I know they'd say it would be great if it weren't for grading. Right? That's just a task. The church can be a broken place. The church, according to Hosea, can be an unfaithful place. But its identity is that it is the bride of Christ, made holy and special, not because of who we are, but because of who Christ is. We're the beloved of the Father. We are the bride of Christ. And in these days, a church is often viewed with suspicion by those outside of the church. Often because we've had some pastors do some stupid things. And so those outside of us look on us with suspicion. And sometimes we teenagers, we pick up on that because we're teenagers and we think, yeah, the church is... church is messed up, and it is messed up. But it is the bride of Christ. So beautiful image. The beloved of the Father and the bride of Christ. And then thirdly, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now this excites me beyond comprehension. In 1 Corinthians 3, verses 16 through 17, the Apostle Paul writes to this broken, messed up church in Corinth. They got all kinds of stuff going on that's unpleasant to talk about. And Paul says to them, "Don't you know that you are God's temple? And God's Spirit lives in you. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is sacred, it's holy, and you are that temple." Now, here is a good time to know grammar. The Greek is similar to German, which I believe is similar to other language. It is like Dutch. But the Greek can be much more specific. It has like six different tenses. We have in English three. And here it's saying it's you all. It's not saying you individually are a temple of the Holy Spirit. It's saying you all, the church, are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Now in 1 Corinthians 6:19, it also says you individually are a temple of the Holy Spirit, so you need to live a holy life. But in this particular instance, it's saying you all are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And then Paul digs into that a little bit more in Ephesians 2 verse 19, and he says, "You are no longer foreigners or aliens. You're the beloved of God, the bride of Christ. You are God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ as a cornerstone." So here it says that we, the church, are God's home. Not the building, not the property, but we the people. That when we gather as a people each Sunday, we are like the Old Testament temple. We are a temple where the Holy Spirit of God lives. It's amazing to me. You know that the temple in Jerusalem was a beautiful edifice. But the temple in Jerusalem has nothing on you all. You're more beautiful than the temple of Jerusalem because God dwells here among you. The Holy Spirit is here among you. The Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the grave dwells here among you. That is why we come on a Sunday. It's not that we necessarily expect great things to happen. I hope the music is good. I hope the preacher is good. I hope to see so and so. Those are all great things. But more than anything, we leave home and come together because where we gather, we are the household of God. God is in the house. And if God is in the house, who knows what will happen? Amen?
Amen.
We don't know what's going to happen. I know that I came to faith in the house. I'm hoping these boys come to faith in the house. I'm hoping many come under the conviction of sin in the house. I'm hoping many decide to follow Jesus in the house. Because God is here. That's our identity. We're the beloved of God. The bride of Christ and the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we embrace that identity, and we not only embrace that identity, but we live it out. We live out of our identity. Once we're aware of who we are, then we begin to act like who we are. Now that I'm 60-something, I'm starting to blame my mother for all my faults. She's 86, and she says to me, "When are you going to stop slowing down and stop working so hard?" I said, "I can't. I'm a hamster. I'm just living out my identity, man. That's the way you raised me." Right? I say the same thing to my kids. "When are you going to slow down?" "I can't, Dad. You're still working." Working hard. We live out of our identity. We embrace it, then we live out of it. So let me give you three ways quickly. How am I doing on time? Am I doing all right? Oh, yeah. I was going to take a picture of you and send it to Andrea and just say, "Ha ha, I'm here, you're not." I'm going to give you three tips. First, as the beloved of God the Father, may our life as a church be filled with praise. We are the beloved of God the Father who has loved us before the foundation of the world. And our lives as a church are filled with praise because we know that our God is sovereign and He is the giver of every good and perfect gift. Our life is filled with praise because we realize that every blessing we have flows from the Beloved. Our life is filled with praise, not because of what we've done and our successes, but because of who we are in Christ, the Beloved of God the Father. We are a people who praise God. We're not complainers like the children of Israel who forgot their identity even though God brought them through the heart of the sea on dry ground. We are people for whom our first impulse is praise because we get to be the beloved of God the Father. Or we are royalty. Blessing upon blessing. As the bride of Christ, our life is filled with purpose. So as a beloved of God the Father, our life is filled with praise. As the bride of Christ, our life is filled with purpose. In 1 Peter 2:9 and 10, the passage I began with, "You are a royal priesthood." Why? "To declare the praises of Him who brought you out of darkness into His wonderful light." God has called us together to declare the praises of Him who poured out His light into our darkness so that others might come to know the God we have known, so that others might join us as the beloved of God. Our purpose is to declare His praise. The prophet Hosea encourages us to be faithful brides by comparing the people of God to an unfaithful wife. By doing so, he encourages us, as we read in Ephesians 5, to submit ourselves to Christ, to commit ourselves with undying devotion to the one who thought we were good enough to die for. So in addition to being the bride of Christ, the beloved of God, we are the body of Christ, each one part of it. We are the presence of Christ to one another, to our children, to the community. We are the hope for a hopeless community. We are healing for a broken world, and we are light in a world of darkness. And so as the bride of Christ, our lives are filled with purpose. We are special. And we want others to be part of this incredible, incredible family of God. So our lives are filled with praise. Our lives are filled with power. And finally, because we're temples of the Holy Spirit, our lives are filled with power. So it's praise, purpose, and power. The Greek word for the Spirit is dunamis, from which we get the English word dynamite. You are the dynamite in this city. Isn't that something? You're dynamite in the city of Charlottetown. You are power. You are the center from which people experience the Christian life. You're like a vine through which people find sustenance for life. You're like a well from which people draw water for life. People of God, as the church of God, you are the beloved of God, so you may live your lives filled with praise. You're the bride of Christ, so your life is filled with purpose. And you're the temple of the Holy Spirit, so your life is filled with power. I encourage you to embrace your identity as a church, as the beloved of God, the Father, the bride of Christ, and the temple of the Holy Spirit. I encourage you to live out your identity as a church. And may your life as the beloved of God the Father be filled with praise. May your life as the body and bride of Christ be filled with purpose. And may your life as the temple of the Holy Spirit be filled with power. Amen. We're going to draw some lines. We're going to have a little coffee time after the service. Get a cup of coffee, then come back and hear for a Q&A about the search process. But let me say this as kind of the wrap up. God loves this church more than you do. You are the beloved of God, the bride of Christ, and the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that is the foundation of everything we do, the foundation of our life together as a people. And we pray that God will bless that life together for His incredible glory. Lord, thank you for your goodness and grace. Thank you for gathering us as a collection of ragamuffins and transforming us into the people of God, the beloved of the Father. Thank you for making us holy and precious by the blood of the Lamb, the bride of Christ. And then thank you for filling us with power so that we can be about your business and declare your greatness and glory to one another and to the world. It's in the name of Jesus we pray it, and all God's people say, Amen.